Well, there is one thing that absolutely guarantees drama and Formula One.
Rain.
Welcome, everybody, to a very damp Silverstone. There is an art to wet weather driving, and I think we're going to learn a lot.
And the wet track should simply make this one of the best races of the year. This is normally a very exciting race.
Yes! Yes! It's go! So here is Ayrton Senna across the line, and it is victory for the Brazilian.
Driving with slicks in damp and really slippery conditions was tremendous.
David Coulthard in these appalling conditions.
Oh, God! Michael Schumacher hits David Coulthard and is out.
I think Vettel's got weight.
Yeah,
he's got
weight.
He turned in too late. He got the tyres. Button leads the Grand Prix.
And is that Glock? Is that Glock going slowly?
It is.
That's
Glock. Oh, my goodness me.
Hamilton takes the lead of the race as Lando Norris slides off the track.
And Damon Hill wins in Belgium. Fantastic.
Welcome, friends, to Formula Y. This time, we're explaining why wet weather makes the life of a Formula One driver so much more difficult.
We are, that's right. This is the official Formula One podcast dedicated to helping you find out more about the sport we all love by answering a question every week with me, Christian Hugill, and Katie Osborne. Now, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. There are already episodes looking at why F1 Sprint is such a challenge, why F1 has three races in the US, why F1 drivers have to be so fit, and more. But today, it is all about what happens when it rains.
That's right, Christian. Coming up, one of Formula Y's regular experts, Dr. Deandra Leslie-Pilecki, will talk us through the science bits. Mark Slade, race engineer Michael Schumacher, Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando Alonso, and nowadays Kevin Magnussen will look at it from the team's perspective. But I know what you might be thinking. We need to talk to a driver. Someone who knows what it's like to race at 200 miles per hour when it's pouring down with rain and you can't see where you're going. Well, how about a legend?
And takes the checkered flag. Mika Hakkinen wins in Japan. He is world champion.
And you go on a straight line 200 miles per hour and you can see that the tarmac is just like a mirror full of water. And you get feeling you're steering that way. Do I feel the load? Do I feel the load in the steering? It sometimes comes to my mind that they can make up, what are you doing, man? what are you doing?
The two-time F1 world champ, wet weather master, the flying Finn himself, Mika Hakkinen. You will hear from him very soon.
I love Mika Hakkinen. But first, a few things change when the rain comes down in Formula One. The first is tyres. In a dry race, the drivers use slicks. Unlike the tyres on your road car or your motorbike, slicks are smooth. They don't have any grooves or tread. A big, wide, smooth, slick tyre puts plenty of rubber in touch with the road, giving the drivers maximum grip. In the dry, that grip is pretty much all they want from their tyres.
In the wet, that then changes. They also need the tires to clear the water, and for that, they need different ones with grooves or tread blocks in the rubber. Now, there are two types of wet tires, one for when it rains a bit, and those are called intermediates and have a green stripe on them, and then one for when it rains a lot. You'll hear drivers call those full wets or extreme wets, and they have a blue stripe on them.
The grooves in wet tires are the most important part. Those grooves are carefully designed to clear water off the track to give the driver more grip. On the intermediate tyre, the grooves are shallow. On the extreme wet, they're deep for clearing more water. The tyre's grooves throw the water up into the air, and that is why you see those huge tails of spray behind F1 cars when it rains.
Christian, I like to think of that as like a pretty peacock, but a lot of people also consider those rooster tails, and though they might be good for grip, it can also cause tons of visibility problems for the drivers. We'll talk about that a little later with Mika.
Just so I'm understanding this, you mean the car sprays in the shape of a peacock's tail, yeah?
Yeah, imagine, yeah, it's like a rooster tail. I just think a peacock's prettier.
Oh, okay, I've never heard that. Now, one more thing to say about tyres before we move on. One of the challenges is being on the right tyres at the right time. If it starts raining or stops raining during a race, the drivers and strategists have to decide when to make a pit stop to switch between dry, intermediate, and full wet tyres.
Yeah, Christian, and that is a job I'd absolutely not want to have. Because, for example, the extreme wets work really well and help you go faster when the track is soaking wet and there are big puddles everywhere. But those don't work so well if the rain stops and the track dries up a bit. That's when you need to switch to the intermediates or even go back to the slicks. Getting those tire calls right and making them at the right time is so crucial. Get it right and you move up the order, and get it wrong, well, your race might be a bit ruined.
Absolutely. Now, if the weather's too bad and it's too dangerous for the drivers to go at full speed, the race can be stopped, red flagged. But in the 2023 season, F1's tyre provider Pirelli has kindly introduced a new and improved full wet tyre. It will hopefully mean races can be run even when the rain's coming down hard. You'll never be able to race if it's all too horrific, but the new tyre should improve things. Now let's learn a little bit more about why things get so tricky in the wet. Dr. Deandra Leslie-Pilecki is a motorsport science expert. She's one of our regulars here on Formula Y, and she caught up with Katie.
Hey Deandra, and welcome back to Formula Y.
Thank you for inviting me back.
There is this conversation that driving in the wet is the ultimate skill test for a driver. Why is driving in the wet so challenging?
Driving in the wet is so challenging because you basically lose grip. I mean, the basis of any racing is grip. And when you get water on a track, you lose grip. And so you are now trying to drive as if you were on basically ice at those speeds. So any of us who have driven in the winter know that it's much harder to drive when you don't have that grip.
But a lot of that has to do with aquaplaning. And scientifically, that 101 definition of it, what is aquaplaning?
Okay, to understand aquaplaning, you have to understand how grip is created when you're driving in the dry. So in the dry, you're looking at friction between the tires and the track, and there's a certain number that characterizes that. When it starts raining, you get rain on the track, and that makes the coefficient of friction, the grip, between the tires and the track even less. Now, if you get enough rain on there, what you actually have is a thin layer of water between the track and the tire. So in other words, the track is not touching the tire at all. And that is aquaplaning. That is when you're pretty much sliding because, of course, you can't grip water because the water will move. So you go from having it dry, having high friction, to being wet and decreasing the friction. And then aquaplaning is when you're sliding. And as you know, when you're sliding, it's really hard to steer a car that is sliding. So everything that the car does is a result of the interaction between the tires and the track. So when you're aquaplaning and you have no connection to the track, nothing else is going to work. You're not going to be able to steer. And when you brake, your tires will stop, but the car will keep going because it's got nothing to grip onto.
Yeah, talk about losing control. Now, the another component that you're talking about, so you're saying loss of grip is a big challenge for drivers in a Formula One car or any car for that matter. Another is visibility. And that to me drives me bonkers. When I'm on the freeway and I can't see, and maybe more or less I probably need to replace my wipers. So there's that component to it as well. But in reality, these drivers are up against another whole set of elements while they're trying to also maintain their competitive spirit and make sure that they keep that car on the road when they can't see because it's a peacock of spray in front of them.
The only good thing for a driver about rain is that everyone else on the track is also having to drive in it.
It is a clean notebook. It's an even playing field at that point.
Yeah, so you can't see, and the person in front of you probably can't see either. That's why being out in the lead is so important when it is raining. In terms of visibility when you're racing, you've got a couple problems. One is the direction that the rain is coming at you. So if it's coming straight at you versus from the side, you know, they don't have little windshield wipers on their visors, so they've got to see through the raindrops. So in many ways, they're just guessing.
When a driver's in that situation without that visibility and they're trying to control their car, what are they working through behaviorally and mechanically in their brain that's really going to be show the ultimate test of a driver?
What drivers are thinking about when it starts raining and they have to drive in the wet is their memory of that track. And so that's one reason why practices are so important. You're building up a rhythm. And most of the tracks that Formula One drives, there's a certain rhythm that as you go through the corners, each driver tries to maintain. Knowing that rhythm really helps when it starts raining because you can't see as well, you can't steer as well. But having in your mind the mental picture of the track will really help you. That's why so many drivers like doing simulations and like doing, say, iRacing.
Yeah.
Because it really does help them get the picture fixed in their mind. I know exactly where every turn and every reference point is on this track. There is definitely a natural response for you and me when it starts raining to slow down. But by the time a driver has gotten to Formula One, I think he has to have trained that out of his brain. I think you have to have, you know, a cast iron stomach and the ability to shut out even the thoughts of, gosh, what if I crash? You know, what if I don't make this turn? You have to shut that all out in order to pursue that one goal, which is making the fastest lap time you can on that track. By the time you get to F1, drivers have been doing this for a pretty long time. And you'd be amazed what you can train people out of. When you're driving in the rain, everything is slowed down. You cannot make big moves. If you swerve the wheel to the left, you're going to spin out. If you swerve it to the right, moves that would be safe in the dry, they're not safe there. Having the ability to feel the car through the seat, to feel how much grip you have on each tire, is the number one important thing to me for a driver. And so being able to sense, what can my car do? How hard can I push it without making the mistake? And, you know, the problem is, it once you go over, that's it. So you have to figure out how to get as close to this line as I can without going over it. And I think the best drivers are the ones who are best at sensing how close they are to that line and staying on the correct side of it.
Well, a lot of good lessons from you, DeAndre. Thank you so much for spending the time here and joining us again on Formula Y. It's always a pleasure to be learning from you. Christian, wasn't DeAndre one of the most perfect people to explain the word aquaplaning?
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys spoke about spray. That's something F1 drivers talk about a lot on wet race weekends. Katie, we've spoken before about us not being able to drive F1 cars, sadly.
That's true.
It's very sad. But I was lucky enough to race karts, which is what all the current crop of F1 drivers started in. And it was exactly the same then. When it was raining going into the first corner, spray was so bad, you were literally guessing from memory where the braking point was. Brake too early, someone is going to smash into the back of you. Brake too late, you're in the wall and your race is over. And Katie, I promise you, I did both of those things.
Once or twice?
Several times, trust me.
But hey, like, nothing against karts, but it's so much more intense in Formula One, as we're learning. Karting, though, is where a lot of these guys do learn wet weather skills, right?
Oh, so much, yeah. And I was rubbish in the wet, because being able to, as DeAndre said, learn how to feel the car when you're driving, feel when there's grip and when there isn't, that learning process starts right at the beginning of a driver's career in karts. And it's something our next guest is going to talk more about.
Before we get a driver's perspective from the two-time Formula One world champ Mika Häkkinen and hear about one of his great wet weather performances, it's time to welcome back another one of our regular friends on Formula Y. Mark Slade is a race engineer who looks after Kevin Magnussen from Haas and has worked with some F1 greats in the past.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more about the job of a race engineer, Mark talks about that in episode 1 of Formula Y, so go back and listen to that a bit later should you want to. But this is what happens when me and Katie quizzed Mark about all things wet weather. Mark, welcome back to Formula Y.
Hello again.
It's lovely to have you back. Thank you for coming back.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You have worked with some drivers who are known for being brilliant in the wet in a long and successful career in Formula One. In your expert opinion, what's the key to a good wet weather drive?
I think the driver effectively gets more responsibility in that situation because he is the one out on the track experiencing the conditions firsthand. It's far less predictable than a dry race. So really, he has all the cards. You know, he has to play it. We can help him, but we can't help him as much as we can in a normal dry race because we don't really know what's going to happen. And he can make a bigger difference than normal because he knows which tyres to have at which point in the race. He's got control over aspects of the car's performance with things like his diff control, engine braking, stuff like that, which are all technical features that he can use to adjust the performance of the car, and they're probably more influential in the wet conditions than they are in the dry. So he's just got more scope to show his capability, which I think is great.
Mark, and this is such a definition of these drivers, right? It kind of sets the good from the great, is that driver who can really race in all different aspects on all different kinds of road surfaces. Is that something that drivers are innately, you know, is it innately inside of them?
I suppose what it really is, it's their balance. It's their sense of balance. And I think in the dry conditions, you can overcome things with bravery. In the wet, it's a different sort of bravery because you can't just throw the car in hard and try and get away with it like you can on a dry track. You have to have a much more sensitive feel for what the car's doing because the grip level is so much lower. And you have to have very fast reflexes and a very instinctive way of driving. And I suspect that it's actually part of their physical makeup more than anything else. There's some people who are more used to dealing with a car on a low grip surface and the way it moves around and the way they have to react to it and be more gentle with it in those situations. You cannot be aggressive as a driver in wet conditions. The car will snap away from you, it'll bite you. So you have to have a really careful finesse to your driving for it to work really well. It's impressive.
And from a race engineer and a strategy standpoint, so we're talking like, I don't know how drivers do it, right? Like that is in that driver's seat is a place I will absolutely never be. I like windshield wipers. I like things that like make my cruising down the highway super simple. But even from a race engineer standpoint, right? Which is where you put your hat on and you say, okay, we got to strategize here. The grip is different at point A of a track to point B of a track. We have tire management. Those are the controllables or the attempted controllables that you and the team can manage. How do you do that? And how difficult are those challenges? So forgetting the drivers here from a team standpoint.
It's a lot more of a lottery, to be honest. We do some sort of straightforward things because we know we're not in control. So it's a question of, right, well, we're going to send the car out with the changes we think, based on our limited experience of wet running, are going to make the car perform as we need it to in the wet. You don't get much chance to try them out. So you just put them on the car and going, we think that'll work. Off you go, Mr. Driver, you'll find out in
good
a minute.
Good luck.
There is an element of that. As I said, he has some controls to influence that behavior to some extent. It's simple things like not knowing how long the tires are going to last because you won't have run them in the wet probably that weekend. So you don't know how many laps you're going to get. So you kind of have to just react to the circumstances as they are. And strategy, it falls by the wayside a little bit because you don't know how many pit stops you're going to make. You don't know if it's going to dry up or if it's going to rain again a lot of the time. Sometimes you do, but if you don't, you just have to kind of go, well, where are we right now? Let's do this because we think that's right for now. And even if things don't go right at a precise moment, you don't know that they're not going to fall right for you later in the race. So you're always hopeful, even if you've made a bad call. You can be thinking, well, you know, in 10, 15 laps, it could come our way again. So let's just keep going.
Because for all the computer systems in the world predicting strategy, for all the weather radars in the world, some things you just can't predict. So I guess it's very reactive for you and the driver.
It is very reactive. And that's why I say actually the driver becomes more important because he's going to tell you, oh, the track's drying. Now, we're always asking, can we put dry tires on the car? Because you know, when you go from a wet to an inter to a dry tire, the performance benefit in the right conditions is huge. But only the driver can tell you when that's possible. And if we make the wrong call, if we bring the driver in at the wrong time to put the wrong tire on, it's game over. You know, there's a tendency to want to put. So it starts raining. You put the wet tires on too early, they're going to be destroyed before the track's actually wet enough. So you think you're gaining an advantage by stopping early. You're not. You're just ruining your race. But the other way around, sometimes it's raining, you're on dry tires. We can see on the radar that the rain shouldn't last long. So the driver's going to be like, Christ, you know, it's really wet out here. I'm really struggling. And you've had to say to them, look, we think this rain's going to stop in 2 or 3 minutes. If we stop now, we're going to lose 30 seconds. So we think you'll lose less time if you stay out there. And then that's really down to them to get, you know, it's like, wow, you can almost hear them saying, do you know how hard it is for me to keep this thing on the island out here? But we're like, no, you got to keep doing it.
Keep going.
Keep going.
It's amazing. It's like you guys are gamblers out there just trying to make sure you got to go test your luck and see what it's like.
Yeah. But it's gambling with the right driver, it's gambling with an advantage, with a sort of, you know, you're cheating slightly.
Talking a little bit about what you had mentioned regarding being too aggressive. I know when I watch or listen to a race and you see some of the drivers are spotting like, stop talking to me, or I got to stay focused, or and some people might assume that is aggressive. Others might interpret that as being assertive, especially in these wet conditions. How important is that push-pull of pushing their button of saying, hey, look, guys, you know, this is what we're thinking, versus them coming back and saying, don't talk to me right now?
A lot of people don't appreciate with this, guys, is the concentration level required to handle these cars consistently fast, lap after lap, is enormous. And in the wet conditions, that's magnified. So we have to talk to them, and we hopefully are giving them useful information. But I think you have to appreciate that there's so much going on in their heads that you have to be very careful not to disturb the concentration, not to disturb the flow. And I think that, again, is just magnified in the wet conditions. It is so hard. I don't think you watch these guys on track, you think, it doesn't look that hard, does it? But we have no appreciation.
I can
we really
cruise down
no
the highway with my windshield wipers on, no problem.
It is incomprehensible how hard these cars are to drive. And if you put someone on a wet track on slick tyres with a 1,000 horsepower engine car that weighs, 800 kilos, it's extraordinary. And it's not the same as playing a video game, is it? Because they are in mortal danger. That's the reality. It's a bit different. It's phenomenal. It really is. It really does mark them out.
And I love playing the F1 video games. And I'm rubbish in the wet. So I sympathise.
You're on the brave side. Then the finesse is lacking, shall we say?
Let's go with that. I'm too brave. I like that spin, Mark. We'll go with that. Nice.
You're too fast for your own good.
I'm too fast for my own good. You heard it here first, folks. Mark, thank you for explaining the challenges of wet weather driving to us from an engineer's point of view. And next time you're at a race getting soaked and it's quite cold, think of us, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. Sat in your rooms. In the warm, in the dry, while we're on the grid, the rain pouring down.
The heart bleeds.
Yeah, our trainers getting soaking wet. Yeah, okay, I'll think of you.
Though, Christian, this has been an extremely fascinating conversation with him. I doubt he'll be thinking of us next time he's standing in a puddle in the middle of a wet track.
No, he's got way too much to do. Also, Katie, you and I both have been at the side of enough racetracks to know that it's not all heated commentary boxes for us broadcasters when it rains, is it?
I'm not being polite. My notes are soaked.
Mark is brilliant. Great to have him back on Formula Y. And once again, so many good points about why wet racing is so tough. The driver has more responsibility, more pressure on them, and they even need higher concentration levels because one tiny mistake and you could be out.
Ain't that the truth? Well, our next guest knows all about both winning in the wet and about making those teeny tiny mistakes. Mika Häkkinen won back-to-back F1 World Champs in 98 and 99, and he won some incredible wet races along the way. He'll talk us through one of them in just a moment. Trust us when we say that race had all the highs and all the lows of a classic Grand Prix. Christian and I were so excited to talk to Mika, who was on such awesome form. Here is a double world champ himself catching up with us.
Let's take things back to real basics for a minute. What changes for a racing driver when it's wet on the track?
First of all, the driving racing car, Formula One car in wet, it is a nightmare. It's not fun at all. It's spectacular, of course, the water spraying. But when you are driving, let's say, 200 miles per hour, and it's really flat out raining from the sky, and you go on a straight line 200 miles per hour, and you can see that the tarmac is just like a mirror full of water. And you get feeling you're steering that way. Do I feel the load? Do I feel the load in the steering? What that means that way if the car starts aquaplaning. And it happens super many times for me. And it makes me, but then I thinking, it sometimes comes to my mind that thinking, Mika, what are you doing, man? what are you doing? I mean, yes, okay.
Questioning everything that you know.
Of course, in your mind, you are thinking that, yes, it's great to be a racing driver and it's great to be a Formula One driver. This is all what I've been working all my life. Oh, yes, you can debate extremely well and all that. But then you really think about that when you go on a straight line, that beat, and it's raining like crazy. You think about what I'm doing, because you are not You are not in control with the car. You are like a little passenger. You are like a passenger all the time.
And that connectivity with the car is so important in normal driving circumstances, to be connected, to be one with the car. And in these circumstances, you're not one with the car. The car is totally controlling you.
Exactly. That's a priority. You have to be, you have to feel all the time to be one-to-one with the car. And if this is missing, this thing, and you're driving in a wet condition, that means, it can mean that you don't have a confidence with yourself, or you don't have a confidence with the car, or you have both. You have no confidence with yourself and not with the car. And then you are lost completely. And sometimes when you look at the Grand Prix and when there's a wet condition, you can see some drivers are 2 seconds slower, you know, like a leader of the race, you know, 2 seconds slower. And that's the situation where the driver don't have a confidence, not for himself and not for the car. And it's a horrible feeling. It's a really scary feeling.
I suppose for those of us like me and Katie who'll sadly never drive a Formula One car, like, I suppose the only way we can sort of picture it is if you're on a highway or on a motorway and it is really, really wet, and sometimes the steering starts to feel a little lighter because there's so much water on the road and the spray in front of you from a great big truck. I'm imagining that's sort of why it's so difficult when you're in a racing car, in a Formula One car. I'm imagining, talk to us about how it feels to have no grip and no vision, and how do you get past that? What do you do?
When you don't have confidence, when you don't have a confidence with the car, and it's really the water, you know, spraying everywhere. It's like a wall in front of you on a straight line and you go 200 miles per hour. It is a very similar situation. That when if you have a chance, go walk in a forest.
That is not where I thought you were going with it, but
no. If you, it's a similar feeling that way. If you go in a forest and you walk in a forest and it's so beautiful, it's so quiet and so relaxing, and then you decide to run, but you close your eyes.
Okay, now that tracks. Okay, that makes sense now.
Same feeling. You know, it is. It's going to end up in a catastrophe, you know. It's painful.
But to pick you up on that, Mick, we do hear these names like Schumacher, Verstappen, Hamilton, yourself, Mick, of all these names who people have said, oh, they're good in the wet. They're good wet weather racing drivers. What is the key to being good in the wet? Is it that confidence to generate the grip in the car? Or what is the key to being a good wet weather racing driver?
End of the day, there's no shortcut becoming a good racing driver on the wet. The only solution is to practice. Practice and keep practicing. There was I spoke to father of Sebastian Vettel, and everybody knows Sebastian Vettel. He's a 4-time world champion in Formula One. And I spoke to his dad a couple months ago, and we were chatting about go-karting, where these young little kids are racing in a go-karts. And he mentioned that way, how he was able to make Sebastian becoming a very good racing driver on the wet. What he did is when it was raining, he didn't give him a wet tires. He gave him a slick tires.
Clever.
Which was make the go-kart very difficult to drive. So Sebastian automatically has to learn to control the car extremely well to keep it on the track. So then when he was practicing days and days on that type of condition, then his dad put the wet tires, and of course Sebastian was very quick. It's common sense, you know, practice makes champions. But that Sebastian Vettel's dad was a very good example how you can make the young driver becoming good. When you're talented, when you are brave, young, you can go for it. You can take these calculated risks, get the temperature of the tires, keep your foot down and flat out.
Mika, I wanted to talk to you about one particular wet Formula One race. The 2000 Belgian Grand Prix, one of your most famous wins. What do you remember from that race? Because there's a couple of moments in there that are Mika Hakkinen gold. What do you remember from that race?
Well, I believe that must be the race when I did make this great overtaking maneuver.
That is the very race. The very race.
It's quite a long time ago already, but it was a special Grand Prix. When we did start the race, the circuit wasn't fully dry. It was quite a difficult condition, I was leading a race comfortably and increasing my speed constantly every lap. But one corner, I did make a mistake and I did spun off.
And out,
Häkkinen.
That's Häkkinen, Mika Häkkinen running off the circuit. What has happened? Has it cost him the lead? Has the camera cut to the McLaren?
He spun in Stavelo. He spun on his way through Stavelo. He appears to be picking up speed. I think he's just swapped ends on the way into Stavelo. We'll no doubt see a replay. Chewy's through. Chewy's easily
Michael
gone through.
Michael Schumacher leads the Belgian Grand Prix. Oh, there he is, and there in the background is Mika Häkkinen. This is a terrific development.
I did spun off, but I didn't hit anything. But of course, when I'm on the grass, I can teach Michael Schumacher going past with a big smile on his face, you know. I knew that way. Right, this race is going to be just me to start challenging and catching Michael and able to catch him. It was really, really difficult until the 10 laps to the end, I did finally catch him. I had only one place where I was able to overtake Michael in that track. So I could try 10 times to overtake him before the race is over, but in only one place on a straight line. And he knew that. So every time when I was catching him in that straight, he really closed the door big way. And what it means, close the door, he really put his car in front of me so aggressively that way sometimes we were going 200 miles per hour, and then my front wheel was already on the grass a couple of times. So he didn't let me overtake. So he was a very naughty boy.
I can't imagine him just letting you by. Like, here, just go ahead, Mika.
But naughty boy in terms of, he was so much edge on the regulation. So I was counting, the laps was getting less and less, and opportunities for me to overtake Michael was also starting to be less and less. I was wondering that way, I need to take a risk. I really need to take a risk. What that means, when you're driving the Formula One car and you need to take a risk, it means that if you go off, you're going to have a big accident. Before that straight, in particular that circuit, there is a corner called Aurouge, very fast uphill corner. Then this long straight start where I had opportunity to overtake Michael. So this uphill corner was never flat. When I was following Michael, I decided that I had to take a risk. I had to do it flat, that corner. And it was incredible. You know, when I was coming towards that corner, I felt all the forces, all the load what the car was experiencing, that, you know, I was worried that something will break in a car. But I was ready to take that risk that way because I wanted to desperately overtake Michael.
That risk versus reward game that you play with yourself in the car. It was, the reward was higher than what it was going to be.
Yeah. So finally, when I was top of the hill on a straight line, I can see Michael in front of me, but it was still a little distance from Michael. And I thought, all right, he's going to do the same again. When I try to overtake him, he's going to block me. But then in the distance, I saw the back marker. It was a Brazilian driver, Ricardo Sonda, I never forget. I saw him in the distance driving in the middle of the racetrack. I knew this is my opportunity. So I knew Michael has to overtake either right-hand side or left-hand side. He has to make a decision. But the problem was also that way, if he decides to overtake on the right-hand side, the circuit was wet. And I was on slick tires. Michael was on slick tires. And I knew Michael probably going to do it on the left. And that's what he did. And he overtook on the left and overtook this back mark on the right. And it was a very spectacular on the TV and in action. It was spectacular, and I was able to overtake Michael just a couple laps before the end.
Michael's having to defend, and Mika, and there's the back marker's in the way. Can he do it? Yes, he's done it. A brilliant move there, either side of Zonta, and Häkkinen brilliantly takes the lead of the Belgian Grand Prix.
And you can see the delight in the McLaren garage, because that could well have decided the race.
Michael defending the track, making his Ferrari as wide as he can. He then went round the outside of Zonta, and Häkkinen said, thank you very much. I'll have a piece of that side of the racetrack then this time around, and really took Michael by surprise. And can you imagine how much surprise Zonta had?
Yeah, and remember, they were doing it at an approach speed of some 205 miles an hour.
And soon as I overtook him, and I felt inside me that way, aha, who is smiling now? Who is not smiling?
No, and the drama of wet racing, because you had that small mistake where you spun off the circuit, you fought back on a drying, damp track, you used a damp track and used a back marker to overtake again. On that particular wet race, you went must have gone through every single emotion imaginable, and you won. Fantastic.
But what I also love that nobody can see right now other than Christian and I and our producer, Chris, is the smile on your face kind of reliving and thinking about these moments. It really is something where they obviously mean something so much to you. And it is such a treasure. It's so special to hear. On a completely different note, though, one of the things I would be so curious about as a reporter, being outside covering motorsport in the wet is absolutely not fun. You mentioned there is a challenge to it. One of those I can imagine for a driver, too, is visibility, and talking a little bit about what that might be. But the other thing is, and this is something I've never asked anybody before. So, Mika, just out of curiosity, what is it like to sit in a driver's suit that's wet?
You know, first of all, the seat where we are sitting in Formula One car, it is a carbon fiber seat. But the problem is the seat don't have any holes.
Oh, see, this is what I would imagine. This would be a problem.
I know where this is going.
So when it rains, it keeps filling up the water. And also sometimes the race is very long. So sometimes it's not only the water in the seat.
And that presents another challenge in and of itself.
I don't go for details.
That's okay.
But you're right. You know, you are soaked. You know, you're soaked. But you know, this is also important challenge for the manufacturers who are building overalls, building gloves, what the drivers are using when they are racing, the shoes, because when drivers are holding steering and the gloves and the steering is soaking wet, you know, if the contact pads getting so slippery in the steering, it's impossible to drive because the loads of the steering can be so high. So if the water, you know, if you have some kind of weird material in your gloves and it doesn't match the material in the steering, I mean, your hands, you cannot hold the steering. And also the shoes, you know, the water, you know, matching how slippery the pedals are when your shoes are wet. So when you want to go on a throttle pedal, or even more important, when you want to go on a brake pedal and the straight, and if your shoes are wet, you know, if you slide off the pedal, you know what's going to happen then. So there has to be a lot of development work with the materials in crash helmet, what you use, your visor materials, that way it doesn't get foggy inside, materials in your gloves, your shoes. Everything.
Mika, I just wanted to say before we end, I think every Formula One fan has their own special memories of the sport. And my earliest Formula One memories were watching it with my dad when I was sort of 8, 9 years old. And those seasons were 1998 and 1999. You were the first Formula One champion I ever watched. Mm-hmm. You were sort of my first ever champion. So very special to talk to you and interview you, Mika. Very special.
This is so nice. But, you know, I really have to say thank you, making me feel so old.
And here's the other thing. I too felt that way. I'm so sorry earlier. I'm like a way back way. Oh, but you know what? It was a few years ago. To be fair, it's a few years ago.
I was trying to say a nice thing, Mika. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's beautiful. No, well done. Thank you. That's good. You enjoyed watching me becoming a world champion. You know, it was a good time. And I'm happy that way you are flat out supporting Formula One today. That's cool.
What a superstar. Awesome to talk to Mika Häkkinen, and he will be back on Formula Y very soon
to share more of the wisdom that made him a two-time world champion.
Man, I do love story time with Mika. A big thanks to him, Mark, and Deandra. I do think our guests have summarized perfectly well why wet weather is so tricky for the drivers. What less grip, the risk of aquaplaning straight off the circuit, more pressure, and the team hanging on to every word you say.
And you need balance and the ability for you and your car just to feel at one. It all makes so much sense, doesn't it? Why so many of the ultimate F1 greats, Senna, Schumacher, Hamilton, Verstappen, have all been known for being wet weather masters.
Indeed. You're right, Christian. Now, before we go, don't forget we want to get you, yes, you, on Formula Y in the future episodes to ask a question. We'll also read out some of your comments about the show, too. So please email or voice note us. Christian, that address is...
Well, you want a voice note, don't you, Katie? You like a voice note.
I want the voice notes. That's what I want. So you can email Christian, voice note me.
Katie Osborne loves a voice note. Yeah, we're going to read some of these out next week. Y@F1.com or use the hashtag Formula Y on Insta and Twitter.
Beyond the Grid and F1 Nation are the other two official F1 pods that bring you your weekly F1 fix. So please don't forget to check those out, especially that Beyond the Grid episode with Mika. Me and Christian will be back with more Formula Y next week. Bye for now.